We are just about a month away from the election, and we definitely need a stirring and moving of the Spirit of God in this nation of ours. Do pray, pray for the election, pray for yourselves, and be sure to get out and vote. I think you still can register if you have not done so, and if you have not, shame on you, and get it done, and vote. I'm not telling you how to vote, but I am telling you to vote. If you want to know how to vote, I'll tell you, but... But anyway, well, as you have probably perceived, we are partaking of the Lord's table today. And just by way of information for any that might not be familiar with what we do, at the end of the service, at the end of the sermon, we'll just have a brief time of personal quiet prayer. Then I'll close that. Then we will distribute the elements. Four men will come, take them to you. We all wait and eat together. And then we will be closed with a hymn today and dismissed. You do not have to be a member of this church to partake of the elements with us today. You do have to be saved. Amen. You have to know Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you should be baptized to partake. But other than that, you are welcome to take, and you decide whether or not you should or not this morning. That's up to you. But with that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the message this morning is regarding discerning the Lord's body. I'm taking an approach to this that I've never taken before, but I believe it's needed at this time, and some things that I think we should carefully consider. This is a time when we're supposed to examine ourselves, as the passage we'll read later on here says, that we be not judged. God gives us the opportunity to judge ourselves before Him so that He doesn't have to do it. You don't want Him to do it. We want to be right before Him. But let's read the first three verses of this chapter as we get started this morning. Discerning the Lord's body. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So the Apostle Paul begins this chapter with an admonition about the keeping of the ordinances. As a Baptist church, there are only two ordinances that we observe, the Lord's Supper, and next Sunday we'll be observing the ordinance of believers' baptism. Those are the only two things I find in the Scriptures that we are supposed to observe. Many of the other things added by some of the Protestant churches and the Catholic Church have no foundation in the Scriptures. That's why we don't observe them. But he challenges them regarding this. And then he goes on and gives a discussion regarding the proper of order of things. You know, he talks about the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's a proper thing. And then he goes into more discussion about the women and men and their treatment of each other and so forth. And then he goes, look down at verse 17, into this discussion about the Lord's Supper and observance of the Lord's Supper. You see, as we read the book of Corinthians, you find out that this church had a lot of serious problems and a broad range of issues where they have those problems, but it can probably be boiled down to one thing. They were selfish. And probably, the truth be known, we all have that problem, selfishness. And so he's instructing them on this, and he started out with this discussion about the proper of order things and relationships and so forth. But then he picks it up in verse 17, he says this, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. So he started out, he says, I praise you, but now he says, here's something, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. He says, you come together as a group of believers, as to fellowship together, and you're really not, you're worse off for it than you are being better off for coming together because of the problems that exist within this church. And we could go into detail about some of them, but I don't want to take the time for that this morning. But they were a mess. And he's rebuking them for the way that they come together to observe the Lord's table. Verse 18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you, when you come together therefore into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's supper, for in eating everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So the problem was that they had this meal that they partook of before they observed the Lord's Supper. There's nothing wrong with that. We have church meals here on occasion. Next month, the first of the month, we'll have our quarterly business meeting. We'll have a fellowship dinner before that and so forth. And some people object to that, but I see no problem with it. These people, it wasn't a problem for them. It was the way they did it. And they'd come in, they'd bring their own meal, and they had this time, which should have been a time of communion and unity, was a time of divisiveness and cliques and factions in the church. That's what the heresies means there. It's this divide, this cliques and these factions that they had among themselves. He says, that's not right. Because somebody'd have a big meal and they'd sit there and eat and get all drunken. It doesn't mean they were intoxicated. It means they're full. Maybe even gluttonous about it. Right. And somebody over here maybe doesn't have anything. And it was causing a division. Instead of sharing with this one, they're keeping everything to themselves. And this whole thing is causing shame and despite. Look at verse 22 again. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not. So it wasn't just a matter of not sharing, but there seemed to have been kind of a looking down on those who were less fortunate than themselves. Just stirring up this divisiveness within the church. Us and them mentality. He says, that not ought to be. You're despising the church of God. So what's the church of God? What's Grace Baptist Church? It's not the building. It's us-ins. And he says, you're despising each other, the church of God. Look at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Now, Paul certainly was not among the apostles, the first disciples that followed Jesus Christ when he walked this earth prior to the crucifixion. He didn't get saved until after Jesus Christ was crucified and raised from the dead. But he got some things from God that the other believers maybe didn't get. When he got saved, Jesus Christ pulled him aside. The resurrected Christ pulled him aside and taught him directly some things. And he says, what I got from the Lord, I've now passed on to you. 14 of the 27 New Testament books written by the Apostle Paul of the things that Jesus Christ gave to him and instructed him on. So he says, the things I received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you. And now he goes into specifically about the Lord's table. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The night of Jesus Christ's betrayal. Think about that. That's what this is all about. This Lord's Supper is about that night of the betrayal. The night that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him with a kiss, which was going to lead to his arrest and his beating and being crucified on the cross for our sins. That night, as they're leading up to that, Jesus Christ said, knowing number one, Judas was going to betray him. In fact, he knew Judas would betray him when he chose him 3.5 years earlier to be a disciple. He knew that. He knew what he was going to do. He knew all that was going to befall him. He knew also that every one of those disciples was going to forsake him and flee. He knew that Peter was going to stand up and cuss and deny that he knew Jesus Christ. He knew all that was going to take place, and yet he still, the night that that was going to begin, he says, I need to meet with them one more time. I need to bring them together. It was to observe the Passover. It was the day of the Passover that he was betrayed. But he says also, I need to institute this, which is to be done in remembrance of me. As they sit there around that table, and well, let me read on here. Verse 24. The same night in which he was, verse 23, the same night the Lord Jesus in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, let me just interject this here. He's sitting there holding a piece of bread. And he says to the disciples, take, eat. He blessed it and broke it. He says, take, eat. This is my body. He gave him the bread as his body. He didn't give him his hand to eat. But as a Roman Catholic, that's what I was taught. That we actually, that becomes the body of Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't. It's a representation. But then as he takes the cup. Let's read on here. Verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So it's not his actual body and blood, it's a representation. That's all this is. Jesus Christ doesn't somehow magically become present in these elements here. And we're doing it in remembrance of him. And so he chose on this night, knowing what's to follow, knowing all that they're going to experience, he says, I must eat this Passover with you. And he instituted this, which they were continue to do. The same night that he was betrayed, he did that. Arranged from this last time to be together with them, to partake with them, to teach them, to try to prepare them to what's to follow. And Judas Iscariot was all a part of this. He had Judas there with him, as well as the others, in spite of what they were going to do. To eat this one last time with them. And he says, as often as you do this, you do show his death till he come. Done to remember, the most unselfish thing ever done. Think about that. Judas Iscariot betrayed him for personal gain. He got 30 pieces of silver. and was going to betray him with a kiss, to have him arrested and beaten and crucified and killed. That was probably the most selfish thing a person could ever have done. Many speculate as to why he did that. Well, the Bible says he was a devil. But he was selfish. What Jesus Christ was about to do was the most unselfish thing anyone could have done. He was giving himself on that cross. Even though the soldiers, he was betrayed by Judas, the soldiers arrested him and took him and nailed him on the cross, he gave himself. Because he could have stopped it at any moment. Why didn't he? Because it would have stopped the plan of salvation. That unselfish act that he was committing for us. To allow himself to be taken and beaten and crucified, and then to die and go to hell to pay the price for our sin. Knowing what we are. Because you can look at Judas Iscariot and rightly so criticize him. You can look at Peter and rightly so criticize him for his betrayal of Jesus, denying him and cursing. And you can look at the others of abandoning him in that most dark hour of his life. But we're no better than any one of them. Every one of us is deserving, as deserving of an eternity in hell as any one of them. Because the Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all gone out of the way. We have all together become profitable. There is none that doeth good. Not me, not you, not anyone. And he did that for us, to pay the price for our sins. Those disciples all doubted that he was going to accomplish what he said he would do. I wonder how many times we doubt that he's going to accomplish what he said he was going to do. Every one of us is deserving of the eternal punishment in hell. And he took that punishment on my behalf and on your behalf. Now, with this in mind, let's begin reading in verse 27. He said, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily." Now, there's a lot of confusion about what unworthily partaking of these elements is. Again, I remind you, none of us is worthy. You say, "Well, preacher, I spent all night last night praying and confessing my sin and getting my heart right with God. And I'm worthy." No, you're not. There's nothing any of us can do to be truly worthy to partake of these elements in and of ourselves. So what's it mean to partake unworthily? Well, let's read on here. "Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat and to tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you may come together unto come not together unto condemnation, but the rest will I set in order when I come. But back up just a little bit again. He says, verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Is it not discerning the Lord's body? Or not discerning the Lord's body? Think about it in the context. He rebuked them for causing these factions, these divisions, for disrespecting other believers, not discerning the Lord's body. Look at the previous chapter, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? So we're talking about the same thing. Previous chapter, he started talking about this. The cup that we're going to partake of. Verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, we are all partakers of that one bread. I believe the body here and in the next chapter is the body of Christ. And they're not giving the proper respect to one another that they'd ought to be giving. Look at chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12:12. And this whole chapter deals with the body. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We are the body of Christ. We comprise the body of Christ. Look at verse 27 of this chapter. For ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Look back at chapter 8 and verse 12. But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Think about that. I doubt any of us who are believers this morning would deliberately sin against Jesus Christ, knowingly. But he says, if I do it against a brother or sister, it's the same thing. How discerning are we of his body? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Matthew 5, 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Now, I understand this is the Sermon on the Mount, and doctrinally it doesn't apply to us, but I think there's a principle here that does. If I've got a problem with a brother or sister in Christ, that's something I need to take care of. Mm-hmm. Amen. He said, before you bring your gift, get that thing fixed. Then bring the gift. because you're not discerning the Lord's body. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you an assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? So when I treat one person differently because of their station in life, because of who they are, what they've accomplished, how wealthy they are, he says, I've become judges of evil thoughts. But read on. Verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that are love him? But he hath despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before their judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. I'm to be discerning of the Lord's body. I'm to treat every one of you the same. You are to treat every one of us as the same. And that's what Paul's dealing with in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Is they're coming and making a big show of how holy they are and how properly they've dressed as they've come to celebrate the Lord's table. But here's where they got to look. Not out here. Because here's what God's looking at. And if I got a problem with one of you this morning, that's what I need to take care of. And you, if you got a problem with one of you this morning, that's what you need to take care of. That's discerning the Lord's body. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Sure, you're all familiar with this passage. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He's stuck on himself. Here's who I am. Here's what I am. Just proud of it too. So God, you should accept me because of all that I've done and who that I am. In verse 13, the publican. So they're both in there. The Pharisee front and center, the publican standing afar off, it says, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee looked down his nose at the publican. I'm not as him. Look at all I do. And the publican wouldn't even lift his eyes. Oh God, I'm unworthy. I am so undeserving. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am a sinner deserving the full judgment of you, God. Be merciful to me. Verse 14, I tell you, this man, that is the publican, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Boy, there's none of us worthy to partake, to receive any benefit or blessing from God. It's because of his mercy that we get anything in his grace. Look at Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So if you sit in condemnation of somebody else like that Pharisee, he's saying, who are you to do that? You're to examine yourself first. You know? Take the beam out of your own eye before you try to pick the speck out of somebody else's eye. It's so easy for us to overlook our own sin. And that's wrong. But let's read on here. Go down to verse 10 of Romans 14. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou sit at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to be there one day. Verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us therefore judge one another, anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We're not to judge each other. What are we to do? We're to love one another. Let me just read a few passages here. 1 Peter 3:8, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one another. John 15:17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. 1 John 3:14-19, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 23 of 1 John 3. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And there's so many more I could read through, but you get the point. Are we discerning of the Lord's body as we should be? Do we love one another as God has commanded us to do? It was the new commandment, he said. That's our command. We're to love one another. So as we prepare to partake of the elements of the Lord's table this morning, certainly if you've got some sins in your life that you've not repented of, you need to deal with that. But this is a number one sin that Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. How are you treating your brothers and your sisters in Christ? Is there somebody here this morning that you've got something you need to deal with, that you need to go with them about, because you've not discerned the Lord's body? Take a few minutes now to pray, and then we'll partake of the elements.